how you've given forgiveness of sins and how you have defeated death. And because of that, we can have life. And because of that, we can follow after you. Congregation, I just want to ask you right now that you would just pray for yourself. That you would pray that God would reveal to you something this morning. That he would speak to you. And that he would help you to see how to respond to the message. So I ask you to also pray for me. That you would pray that God would hide me behind the cross, that it would not be my words but his and his alone. That his truth would be proclaimed and nothing would be taken off of him. That the spotlight would be on Jesus and the glory of the kingdom of God. Father, we love you. We thank you for this morning. We thank you for who you are. We give you this time. Speak to us, Jesus. We love you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Well, I have a confession to make. I am directionally challenged. It's just a gift I've been given. Not even technically sure if I could tell you where north is right now, thinking that way. Could be wrong. So I'm directionally challenged. I can't, if you place me anywhere, I can't tell you where north is without a compass or without my phone because it's got a compass on it and it's got a GPS. So I'm in love with the GPS. That's my default. I can't go anywhere without the GPS. Thank goodness for it. It's on my phone. It's even on my watch. So I have to have the GPS to get anywhere. But my wife is not directionally challenged, and you can put her anywhere, and she could tell you where north is. And she can look at a map, and knowing where north is, she could tell you how to get to point A and point B. And that's awesome. And in 2005, Holly and I, before we got married, when actually we were still just dating, it was the year before we got married, her grandparents decided to take her, and then somehow I got tagged along, which was awesome, to go on a European tour. We got to go for 2 weeks to tour around Europe. And this was something that was a gift to Holly that she kind of had asked them to give her back when she was like 5 years old. She asked them that, she said, hey, if I, you know, graduate from high school, sign this contract, take me to Paris. And so she signed it, they signed it, and we didn't get to go the year that she graduated, but we almost graduated from college, and they finally took her up on this offer. Her grandfather was a retired sergeant major in the Marines, and so they would travel around the world flying military standby. So that May, they flew on out to Germany, and they rented a car, and they drove down to Paris, and Holly and I flew into Paris and met them there. Her grandmother, lover, she is directionally challenged as well, just like me. And her grandparents were in their 70s when we went. And so we get into the car, and all of a sudden, Holly has to be put into the passenger side seat because her grandfather is the only one that can drive. It's a standard. I don't really even, at that time, know how to drive a standard. And it's foreign roads. I'm not going to drive. And I didn't have my license to be able to drive there. And so the car's under his name, so he has to drive. And so Holly's in the driver's side because she can navigate, and her grandmother and I are in the back seat. And most of the time, we get to where we're supposed to go, but we spend a lot of time being lost all over the countryside. And I remember one time in particular that we're driving out to Rome. It's Rome, right? I'm excited. We're getting to one of the big cities that, you know, we're going to adventure to. And we're heading out, and all of a sudden, Rome appears in the distance, and there it is. You know, there you can see kind of the Colosseum, you can kind of see the Vatican afar off, and we're traveling along, and all of a sudden, Rome starts to move, starts to go over here, and then here, and then here, and then here, and then here. And all of a sudden, Rome's back there, but our car is going that way, and we're going away from Rome. We had gotten on this loop or something and traveled all the way around the city, And before we knew it, we were going away from the city. We had missed a destination. We had missed how to get off into the city. And all of a sudden, we were lost. And so I think, and the American, the road systems are not like the American road systems, not like the highways there. You can get off on an exit and then just make a nice little U-turn and get right back on the highway. No, you have to go all the way down to another town and kind of get go into the town and then find another way back to the highway to get back on. And so 2 hours later, we're finally getting into Rome. We got lost. We didn't really have good directions. We didn't really, and her grandfather was a literalist in that if you told him to turn right, he literally turned right right then. And so we didn't have good follow through, and we didn't really know where we were going. We were kind of lost. And so this morning, I want us to look at a passage in Mark chapter 1. The title of the message this morning is Follow the Way. We're going to look at how Jesus enters in onto the scene as this is the beginning of his ministry. And at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he gives three commands. First three things that we see that he says, the three commands that he gives. He says, behold, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent. And then he says, to believe in the gospel. And then we see right afterwards, he says, follow me. Follow me. And so this morning, I want us to, we're going to dive into those three commands. And we're going to focus in on a little bit the idea of what it looks like to follow him. What it really means to follow the way. So join with me. I'm reading in the English Standard Version, reading out of Mark chapter 1, and we'll read through verse 20. I'll start at the beginning. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John appeared baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, after me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in the boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them. And they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. So we see in this passage here in the beginning of Mark, talks about that John the Baptist is preparing the way. He is the voice crying in the wilderness. He is like he is the fulfillment of what the prophet Isaiah was saying, that there would be a voice crying in the wilderness preparing the way of the Lord. It's funny that Jesus or John the Baptist prepared the way, and then we see later on that God established the way, and Jesus calls us to follow the way. But we see John has prepared the way, and then we see that he's baptizing out in the wilderness at the River Jordan. He's baptizing people as they confess their sins, forgiveness, he's baptizing them. And he says that one will come that will baptize them with the Holy Spirit. And we see that Jesus enters into the scene. And we know the story from the other gospels that John doesn't want to baptize Jesus. He's like, I'm not worthy to untie your sandals. How can I baptize you? But eventually John gives in and he baptizes Jesus. And the picture that we see in the scripture there, that as soon as Jesus comes up out of the water, all of a sudden the heavens, it says, tear open. a dove descends onto Jesus, a symbol of the Spirit. And then all of a sudden, a voice cries out from the heavens, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." If there's any moment in history that I would love to go back to, that moment right there is one of them. To be in that moment where all of a sudden Jesus is declared who he is. I mean, you can't escape it. Jesus comes out of the water, boom, the heavens tear open. The dove that appears out of nowhere all of a sudden lands on Jesus. And then if that's not enough to kind of get your hairs going and you're like, I might pee myself, Jesus calls out, God calls out from the heavens and says, "This is my Son, who I'm well pleased." Hey, that was God. If that was God, this is his Son, he's God. The picture of the Trinity, the whole community right there of fellowship, that is huge. So Jesus has established who he is. And the people around him have seen him, seen who he is. So he goes on, says the Spirit immediately drives him into the wilderness to be tested. And then he enters back onto the scene after his time of testing, of proving himself. And he comes into Galilee and he begins to preach. And it says that the first thing that he says is, tells the people, the time has come. The kingdom of God is here. And the first thing he says is repent. The kingdom of God is here. Why? Because Jesus was just declared the Son of God. He is establishing the kingdom. Why is the kingdom of God at hand? Because he's here. And he's here on earth. And he's bringing the kingdom. He's establishing it. The kingdom of God is where Jesus is. And so all of a sudden he's entered into the scene and he's just been, you know, shown from heaven. You know, the whole dove thing, the whole voice from the sky. Boom, this is the Son of God. He is God. Here's the kingdom of God. And then he says, repent. And so often, you know, we get this picture of repent. And we think of repent as, you know, something that we just quit. You know, repenting of something is just this picture of I'm quitting it. You know, like I've lied, I'm a liar. I've lied at something, and so I'm sorry for it. I recognize it, and I quit doing it, repented of it. There's truth in that. And then the other picture that we get a lot of times is the whole picture of when we think of repentance or repenting, we think of the whole 180, right? Turning the whole 180. Like, I'm going in this direction, and so I'm going to repent. And so to repent means I'm no longer going in this direction. I have turned a whole 180, and I'm going a different direction. Right? That's another picture that we get of repentance that we've seen and been taught. And really the word repent there is this idea of a transformation of the mind. My mind is literally being transformed like never before, transformed into something else. I no longer, it's not that I, you know, don't want this. I don't desire it anymore, that my mind has been completely changed. And when Jesus enters into the scene and he says, the kingdom of God is here, repent. He's saying, look, this reality, the kingdom of self, or this physical reality, this political arena, this is not what it's about. It's about the kingdom of God. And when I repent, my mind is being transformed in the fact that I'm thinking, this is not what I desire, but I desire to go after the kingdom of God. I picture it like this. I love Zaxby's. I love the restaurant Zaxby's. And most of you are like, what? What is Zaxby's? Zaxby's is a chicken, fast food chicken restaurant. And I'm not talking like Popeyes, where you get like chicken, you know, chicken pieces. Zaxby's is you get chicken strips, chicken wings, and then, you know, they got salads and stuff too. But that's like their main thing. And Zaxby's, I'm really saddened because there's not a close Zaxby's very close by. The closest one is like in Houston, and that's a little too far to drive for Zaxby's. But Zaxby's originated in Statesboro, Georgia, which is not very far from where I was from in Augusta. And there are Zaxby's everywhere in Georgia. And there, in my hometown, there's literally one, like there's a church on every street in the South. there's a Zaxby's on every street and every corner in Augusta. And so I grew up going to Zaxby's a lot. And when I went to Zaxby's, I would get the wings and things combo. Now, the wings and things combo is wings, obviously, chicken wings. And you could get it in the different sauces, the different hot sauce. And they had theirs Wimpy, Tongue Torch, Nuclear, Insane Hot, right? And being from Georgia, I stuck with the Wimpy because I was, you know, can't handle my hot. Now that I'm a Texas guy, I feel like I could probably do the Tongue Torch, right? The next step up, you know, maybe. I think I can handle it. But I would get the Wimpy, and then I get the chicken strips, the wings and things combo. The wings are the wings, right? The things are the chicken strips, and the Zach sauce is all about the Zach sauce. And then you'd get crinkle fries, right? Seasoned crinkle fries. They've gotten smaller over the years, but they used to be huge and, like, awesome, just mouthwatering. So I would go in, and the wings and things combo is what I want. It's what I would get. And then Holly came along. And Holly and I would go to Zaxby's because, you know, I had a lot of money, so I'd take my girl out, you know, high style, right? We'd go to Zaxby's, right? You can get anything on the dollar menu. No. No, we'd go to Zaxby's. There's no dollar menu. We'd go to Zaxby's, and she would get the kickin' chicken sandwich. And I'm like, all right, whatever. It's a little cheaper. I'm okay with that, you know, saving a little money. Get your kickin' chicken sandwich. I'm going to stick with my wings and things combo because that's where it's at. That's what I'm getting. Not going with the kickin' chicken sandwich. So years go on, and we're dating, and years go on, and we're still going to Zaxby's a lot, and she continues to get the kickin' chicken sandwich. And so finally one day I'm like, you know what? I'm low on cash. Let's both get the kickin' chicken sandwich, you know? I'm going to try this. Let me show you. The kickin' chicken sandwich is this. It's two pieces of Texas toast. You've got the chicken strips in between it. You've got the Tongue Torch sauce and the ranch sauce sandwiched in between. And it looks so, you know, it doesn't look like it's going to be awesome. But as soon as I ate it, I was like, whoa, wow. My mind was transformed. No longer did my heart desire or my stomach desire the wings and things combo. I needed the kickin' chicken sandwich. And so every time now when I go to Zaxby's, I don't get the wings and things combo. I get the kickin' chicken sandwich because that's where it's at. My mind, the wings and things was good, and it's still okay. But this is far greater. This is far better. So this idea of repentance, seeing my mind being transformed, my desires, I no longer desire the things of this world because I've tasted something that's far better. And this is what I want. I repent of being about the kingdom of Jordan or the kingdom of self or the kingdom of this world, and I focus on the kingdom of God because that's where I want to go. And then he says to believe the gospel. I love that Jesus says to believe the gospel. And he says this before he died on the cross, people. He said this before he rose from the dead. He said this before he even told the disciples, hey, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He says, believe in the gospel. The gospel is the good news. It's literally what it translates. What is the good news? The good news is Jesus. It's him. He is the gospel. He is the good news. We believe in who he is. Remember, he was just at the Jordan River. Boom, he was just proven that he's the Son of God. The heavens tear open. The voice cries out, right? It's a big picture. He's established the kingdom. And so he's saying, believe in who I am. Repent. It's about the kingdom of God. Believe in me. I'm establishing the kingdom. Believe me in who I am. See, believing the gospel, it's more than just about who Jesus claims to be. It's more than just what he's done for us, but it's about who he is, what he's done for us. Yes, he died on the cross. Yes, he rose from the dead, and we can have life because of those things. But the good news of the gospel is the fact of who Jesus is. He's the Son of God, and that he came to earth and established the kingdom of God here on earth and chose to have a relationship with us. He's desiring a relationship with us. Why? Why do we know that? Because of what he says to Simon Peter and what he says to Andrew. He comes to them as they're along the sea, and he says, follow me. He says, follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. The reality is that he's calling us to follow. He's calling us to follow him. He's not saying, meet me at a destination, but he's calling us to follow. He called the disciples to follow before he revealed to them that he is the way, the truth, and the life. He called the disciples to follow him before he had died on the cross. He called the disciples to follow him. And there are three things. This is kind of like the heart of the message here this morning that I want us to see. Is that the first thing that we see in following him, that following him, it's more than just about the destination. Following him is more than just about a destination. When I follow after Jesus, yes, I follow him to get to heaven. I follow him because I want to be secure in where eternity lies. But I think we've done Christianity harm when all we've taken it and just boiled it down to a question. Do you know where you're going to go when you die? We need to know this. We need security in this. And this is relevant. But this isn't all that Jesus talked about. Wasn't just about the destination. Why? Because he says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. But then in that same passage, he goes on to say that I and the Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I and the Father are one. So the destination at the end of the way is Jesus. It's God. He is what we get. He is the destination, but following him is more than just about that, because the destination is going with us. The destination is guiding us. What he wants us to do is to follow. Follow him. Following him is more than just about a destination, but also following him is also more than just about learning information. So often we just, you know, I pray the prayer, I know I'm saved, I know I'm gonna get to heaven. Now let me just learn a lot of stuff and read my Bible because that's what I'm supposed to do and go to the studies because that's what I'm supposed to do and learn. And that is good. It's good to learn. It's good to be in God's word. We ought to be in God's word. But when we're just learning for the sake of information, we're not truly following him. We don't go to our Bible studies. We don't go to our life groups. We don't spend our time every day in the morning with the word because we're just learning a bunch of information. Jesus wants us to follow him as to become transformed. He's less worried about information and more worried about transformation. We learn information so that it can transform us. So that as we follow after him, as the disciples followed after him, they learned his mannerisms. They learned how he talked to people. They learned how he dealt with people. They learned how he responded to people. They learned what he said. They learned what he smelled like. They learned all these different things. And that's what we're to do. We're to gather up that information, but so that we can become like the one that we're following. Because he's the destination. Because he's where we're going. Not only is he the way to it, but he is the way. And so we don't learn just information to learn it. We learn it to be transformed. And then the last thing, that following him will sometimes lead us into difficult situations. Following him will sometimes lead us into difficult situations. You see, when Jesus was baptized there at the River Jordan, the heavens tear open, the dove all of a sudden shows up and ascends and lands on him. The voice cries out, this is my son And the very next verse there in Mark says that the Spirit immediately drove him into the wilderness. Jesus immediately goes into the wilderness. The Spirit pushes him to the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. That word tempting can also mean testing. Jesus was tempted and tested by Satan. And the reality is that sometimes when we follow after Jesus, as we're going after him, that he will sometimes lead us into the middle of a storm. He will sometimes lead us into the middle of difficult situations. Well, Jesus, the Spirit led him straight into a difficult situation, into the wilderness. But also, how do I know? Well, Jesus led the disciples straight into a storm. You remember that story? Jesus is on the boat with his disciples and at that one side of Galilee, the Sea of Galilee, and he's like, hey, we're going to go over to the other side. They get in the boat. They get out into the water. Jesus goes down and goes to sleep. And all of a sudden, a storm starts raging, and the winds are howling, and the waves are crashing, and the boat is sinking because the water's getting in. And the disciples are freaking out, right? They're thinking, we're going to die. And they run down to Jesus, who's obviously a hard sleeper, because if water's pouring in, he's probably wet. That's what I'm thinking. And Jesus is still just asleep, and they're waking him up. And like, Jesus, we're going to die. Don't you care? And Jesus comes up, and he gets out and to the boat, and he's like, you know, peace be still. And then in the words of Dr. Wilkes, oh, you little faithers. That's what he tells the people. You little faithers. He took the disciples straight into the storm. But see, what the disciples didn't hear him say is that, hey, we're going to the other side. Jesus was guiding them into the storm because that's where he wanted to test their faith, but he knew that he was going to the other side. He knew he had already been through those storms. See, the Spirit sent him into the wilderness, was tested and tempted, and he overcame. He knows the way through the storm. He knows how to get to the other side. I think of my own driving. I'm not good at navigating, right? And so my favorite way of traveling is if I'm going somewhere, I go with someone that's been there, that they're sitting there with me, and they are intimately aware of what's coming up ahead, and they're intimately aware of the destination, and they know how to get there. I love that because you don't need a map. You just need to listen. Just hear what they say, okay? Coming up ahead is this. Don't freak out. We're going to get through this because I know how to get there. That's kind of what Jesus is like. It's not just the destination. He's there with us. He's taking us through it. He doesn't just tell the disciples, follow me, and then runs off to the destination and say, all right, here's the map. Come and get me. Follow me, and he follows alongside, walks alongside. So this morning, what is it that you're wrestling with? Maybe it is that you're worried, it's that you're just concerned about the destination and you don't realize that following after him is more than just about the destination. It's about being with him along the journey and being transformed into his likeness. Perhaps it's about the learning of the information. You've learned a lot of information, but you've found yourself that you've been guilty of not applying that information and allowing the Spirit to transform you. Perhaps this morning you're in the middle of the storm and you've been thinking, God, why is all this happening to me? I think I've been doing pretty good and I've been doing what you've called me to do, and here I go again, right into a storm. And you just need to trust that God's saying, follow me. I've already been there. I've already been through it. And we're going. I know the way. Or perhaps this morning even you maybe need to deal with the fact that you need to repent of the kingdom of self or the kingdom of this world and realize, let your mind be transformed into following after the kingdom of God. Realizing it's not about the things of this world, but it's the things of where God is leading this morning. And believe in who Jesus is. Yes, believe in what he's done for you. He's died on the cross and he's made a way. But believe in who he is. He's the Son of God. And he's establishing the kingdom of God. And he wants you to join him on the journey as you form a relationship with him so you can intimately get to know him, know how he walks, know how he talks, know what he sounds like, so you can become like him. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. God, we just ask that you would help us to respond in the appropriate manner. God, you've called us to follow after you. Help me to live a life that is truly seeking to follow and not just worry about a destination or not try to get up ahead or not just try to act like I'm doing good by learning a bunch of information, Lord. But Lord, help me to truly follow and be transformed by you. So thankful for the truth of that you have established the kingdom of God and that you are establishing the kingdom of God through your Spirit as we as believers continue to spread your love, your truth. Lord, help us to be mindful of that and help us to focus in on that this morning. God, we do. We love you. Lord, we do trust you. Lord, help us to respond. In Jesus' name.